I have on my notes here, I was going to share like some poignant Mother's Day story, like an intro. And you're going to see intros right here, and there's the dash, and then there's just nothing. It just never came to me. So let's just go into Corinthians 13, unless somebody has a sweet Mother's Day story that they just want to open us up with.
Just talk about your amazing wife.
You know, the interesting thing about our... The interesting thing about my amazing wife is my wife is our first year as a mother of three. So we have three that she mothers now. And if you count me, that we might as well just round it up to five. So, yeah, I was putting some things together for Mother's Day. And for a lot of us, this day is so crazy. We're actually just going to celebrate it next week. Wouldn't that be nice? So we'll do something next week. But I was thinking, I was like, oh yeah, she's a mother of three this year. So that's special for us. And what a mother she is. She spins a lot of plates and does a good job at it. So Paul says this. How was that for an intro? If I speak in human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to hardship so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always hopes. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now I see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I want to talk about this Corinthians 13:7, where Paul says it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. We'll do this week, and the next week we'll do a big review, and then we'll move on somewhere else in June. I've got a couple things in my mind, but I'm not quite sure, but we'll do that next week. And I was looking at this different translation. It's called the International Standard Version, and in the International Standard Version, you know, you have all these different translations. I showed you a bunch last week, and one of the things that the International Standard Version does that I think is so fascinating is they look at the way that the word love is used in the Greek. And the way that love is used in the Greek, it's like a female version, or it's a feminine, it's used in a feminine sense. So what they do is when they speak of love in the International Standard Version, they actually just use the word she, right? So for example, when we look at 13:7, in the International Standard Version. And it actually reads like poetry, right? She bears up under everything, believes the best in all. There is no limit to her hope, and never will she fall. Now, those translators did some work right there, right? I mean, obviously it's poetic, and it has the little cadence to it and a little rhyming to it. But she bears up, so again, they choose to use she here. There he is. They choose to use she here. And I love that they use that, because I just think it's a beautiful way to think of the word love. Right? Is that all straightened out? Okay. With this, what I want to do this morning, and you know, I just wanted to make this kind of a special for moms. So we'll even take it one step farther. And please, you know, if I mistranslate this, all you Bible scholars out there and theologians, but what we'll do is we'll, we'll just kind of, even for the she, we can just kind of sub in moms. Is that all right? Anybody going to like get down on me for that this morning on Mother's Day? I didn't think so. I thought I could get away with it on this day. But, you know, as we talk about the she, and she is the kind of aspect of love, we'll just kind of sub in moms and see how that speaks about moms. Oh, you have. I kept on hearing Alice's voice, and I'm like, where is she? Like, is she, like, crawling under the seats? I didn't know she was back there. I was like, what? Okay, now I'm... I was like, am I hearing voices in my head? Or just, what's going on? Okay, back on track. So she will just kind of... we'll just look at it for moms. So we'll go back to these four aspects, and we'll just look at those aspects kind of in the light of moms. We'll just, short, brief, this is for moms. This is for all the moms sitting in this room. This is for all you people out there who have a mother. You know who you are. Lou, you got it. Some people are like, wait, who has a... Oh, I have a mother. Get that like later on once the coffee kicks in. First thing that the verse says here is that she bears up under everything, right? So love bears up under everything. She bears up under everything. We'll just kind of sub in moms, bear up under everything. Now, the word that they use here is this word used, you could say shield would be a good word for it. Like a roof, sometimes they use it in the sense of a roof or to protect, right? So I would say we could probably all raise our hand, or we could all turn to the person next to us if we had unlimited time and share stories about when our mothers protected us or shielded us. Or, you know, obviously there's the physical roof that moms put over our head, but also the metaphorical roof that they cover us with as we grow up and even as we're grown, right? Mothers, right, she bears up under everything. She shields or she roofs, or she's a roof or she's a protection. Now, here's the assumption behind this is that to be a mother, or again, in this case, love, right, you will be up against something, right? To bear up or to shield or to protect something, it means as a mother, you're up against something, right? You will be up against, there will be things that you'll fight. So I would say this, that to be a mother is a daring and authentic decision that though the world, schedules, children, work, cooking, leading, all of those things might conspire against you, right? You are up, moms are up against all those things. You are the shield, the protector for your kids, for your family, and for your faith, right? And that is what a mother's love does, right? Is that in a household, there's always things that come against a household. And moms, one of the primary things that moms do is they're the shield, they're the roof, they're the protection against those things. Mark, you got something you want to add?
I said I'm that.
You're that?
Yeah, so are you, and so is Brian.
Are we celebrating stay-at-home Mother's Day today, too? But you know, the moms out there that have done that, and we think of our own moms, the way that they've shielded us, protected us, the way that all the things have gone against a mom, they still protect and they shield and they love their kids, right? The second thing Paul talks about here is that mothers believe the best in all, right? Now, this word that we might use here would be the word optimism, okay? But it's not a blind optimism. One of the commentaries that I was reading had this great little, hey, this one's for, even though it's not Mother's Day, this one's, Elliot, this will be a little Father's Day preview for you, because it's a little history piece. I found this fascinating, that in France in the late 1700s, right, when Marie Antoinette was coming into power, into becoming a queen, right, one of the things that, when the capital of France at that time was in Versailles, right? And they had this incredible estate and this incredible palace. And she was coming from Versailles into Paris, and she was doing this processional from Versailles to Paris. And one of the things that the army or the military did is that on this parade processional route, they would not allow like a homeless person or a beggar or a starving person anywhere on that parade route, right? They were all swept into the side streets where they couldn't be seen as the queen passed by, right? So Marie Antoinette's going from Versailles into Paris, and all of the poor and the starving and the beggars are swept to the side in the side streets, so that as Marie Antoinette goes into Paris, all she sees is happy, wonderful, healthy people, right? And so we know that this poor and this starving were actually kind of the seeds of the French Revolution that happens a little bit afterwards, right? So when we talk about moms believing the best in all, and when we talk about optimism, one of the things that we're convinced of here is it's not just like moms don't just sweep all the bad stuff to the side and just, oh, everything's rosy and wonderful, right? I would say this again, when love or when moms believe the best in all, their optimism isn't an optimism that pushes away the pain or the suffering or the hurting. But it's able to take it all in and still see that glimmer of hope and trust that even in dire circumstances, love is not yet done. And I was just talking to some folks this morning, and there was some pain and some suffering and some hurting and some kind of fresh wounds. And it was difficult and it was hard. And the fact that moms can still believe the best, that they can hold out that optimism, that it's not over yet, right? That it's not over for this person, it's not over for this child, it's not over for this situation, and they believe the best in all. They don't push it away, they don't ignore it, they don't say doesn't have any validity. They embrace it, moms, and are able to still look beyond that and believe the best in all, right? Think about that with our moms. Think about that with our wives, or moms believe the best in all. The third one Paul talks about here is it says there's no limit to her hope. Now, when we talk about hope and we think about hope, as something that might happen. There's like Ronnie, you're probably hoping that the Angels are going to win the World Series this year, right? What else are we hoping for this? But it's kind of that wishful thinking that, Lou, you're probably hoping that you sell 1,000 cars this month. You know what I mean? It's kind of that wishful thinking, like, I don't know if it's going to happen. It might happen. It could. It's a possibility. I'm hoping that the Dallas Cowboys, this is the year with all our great players, that we're going to make it to the Super Bowl. I don't know. It's going to Matty Mass hoping for the Redskins. You know, we got all these hopes running around. But when the scriptures talk about hope, see, we get all sidetracked if I go down that route, huh? When the scriptures talk about hope, hope in the Bible is to wait for a sure thing, right? In the Hebrew, I love this. When I was looking at this word in the Hebrew, one of the ways that they'd use this word is it was a cord. It was a rope, right? So you have this, I was going to bring a cord. You have this thing that you're waiting for in the future, right? And hope is actually that cord. Again, in the scriptures, it would be that cord that tethers you to that ultimate reality that you know this is going to happen, right? It's not like, hey, I don't know if Jesus is ever going to come back. I hope so. Maybe he will, but maybe he just never. No, we understand that Jesus will return, is what the scriptures tell us. And we say, I'm holding on to that hope. I'm holding on to that cord that this sure thing will happen. And I'll wait holding on to this thing, right? So when we say that moms, again, as they hold on to this cord, there's no limit to their hope. How many people know that like their moms have like held on to us, right? Like we were been in some down places. Bernie's held on to that cord, not let us go. You know what I'm saying? And so moms have this ability, and just love in general has this ability that there's no limit to that hope. Imagine love, right? It's a cord. It's tethered to us, or it's tethered to a situation. No, we're waiting for a sure thing. And on the other end of that cord, I don't know, for you, it might be a child to turn to Christ. It might be a particular healing. It might be finances. It might be deeper intimacy with your husband. It might be sometimes you just need that cord, just like, I'm holding on that I'm going to make it through the end of the day, right? But hope will keep you tied to that. There's no limit. Mothers have this incredible, I used this analogy one time in cycling. You have this gear, it's called a granny gear, and it's like your ultimate bailout gear. When you're going up the steepest hill, you put it in this small gear and you're just able to keep spinning your gears. I always felt like moms have that ability that, like, when the worst of the worst happens, they just drop it down into a granny gear and they're able just to keep going. When men, we're just like on the side of the road, oh, I quit, I'm giving up, you know, we're just done, I'm just throwing in the towel, we're getting frustrated, we're throwing tools out of the garage and the whole bit. And mom's like, let's just keep going, we'll just keep running. And moms, there's no limit. I always see this in my own mom. There was no limit to my own mother's hope. The last thing I want to say is, she will never fall. Now, stumble, yeah, moms. Any moms in here ever made a mistake? Okay, just a few of you, good. moms will make mistakes. My mom made a few mistakes. But they'll never fall. And I love this, right? I love this psalm right here. It says, though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Will you do me a favor? I don't know, this is just spontaneous. Will you just close your eyes for just 1 second? I want you to think about, and again, whether it's a mom or whatever, I want you to think about that last time you stumbled. And I want you to think about the Lord holding your hand in that situation. And I want to read this psalm to you one more time. Though you may stumble, you will never fall, for the Lord holds you by the hand. And I know today for a lot of moms, it's not going to be all smiles and sunsets, right? And the perfect Instagram photo. There's probably going to be some trying moments, and kids' patience are going to be tested, and parents' patience are going to be tested. And we might even stumble today, maybe. But though you stumble, you will never fall, for the Lord holds you by the hand. One last verse. What do you think about that, Alice? Do you like that point? That was a good one, huh? The last verse, too, in Isaiah. For the moms out there, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious hand. So to the moms out there, it's pretty much impossible to preach a sermon when your baby's crawling across the floor right in front of you, right? How many pastors this morning do you think, like, they're up there giving the sermon and then their child just comes crawling across the floor? Three in the entire world. That's happened to three other pastors in the entire world. Moms, how many moms out there, your kids live off those fig bars? Just the Williams house? Okay, just that's pretty much 90% of our diet right there. Moms, thank you for protecting and shielding and bearing up under everything. Thank you for that. A lot of moms have been up against something this year, this month, these past couple years, and you've protected and you've shielded your children, you've shielded your family, you've shielded your faith. So to the moms, thank you. And we say thank you to that. Thank you to the moms who've done that. Thank you for believing the best in all, right? For when things have kind of gone sideways and when it's become easy to kind of give up or give in, thank you for not giving up and not giving in. Thank you, moms, for doing that. Oh, for your example of boundless and courageous hope. For that cord that you've held on to, right? When things have gone really bad and you've said, I'm going to hold on, I'll hold on to my child, I'll hold on to hope, I won't give up, I'm waiting for a sure thing that God will bring deliverance. Thank you, moms, for doing that. Thank you for always getting up after you stumble, knowing that in Christ, you will never fall. Thank you, moms. Let's say a prayer. God, it's just good to... It is so worthy of our time to honor mothers for all that they do, for all the ways that they protect and hope and believe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I thank you for my own mom, who I can think of some times when that rope went really, really thin and my mom held on. And so thank you for my mother. Thank you for the mother that of my children, too, that I get to watch every day. With our three girls now, and the way that she's able to keep all those girls just full of love and full of grace and just full of joy. That's a gift that only a mother has. So thank you for this time to be able to love our mothers. And Lord, we lift up especially to Jill, too, as she's getting ready to become a mother for the first time. So would you, in this last couple weeks of the pregnancy, would you just put your arm around her and give her strength and energy? And thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you do. In the name of Christ, amen. Do a couple songs and